Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me in studio today is Mayor of the Regional Municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to be here. The weather's starting to turn a little bit colder, so I hope everyone's staying warm out there.
All right, and we have a lot to talk about. You had a council meeting last night, but before we get into that, there have been some reports that have been going around the community regarding yourself and an alleged altercation with one of your council members. Is there any information you can share regarding the situation?
I'm completely restricted at this point. Once there's a report made to the Integrity Commissioner, and that's kind of the process that we set up so that matters like this can be investigated, then there's an obligation of confidentiality. So it's got to stay completely confidential, but there is going to come a point when there's going to be an Integrity Commissioner report. And I would just ask people to hold tight, and they'll see the findings then. I know there's been a lot of rumors circulating around. Some of them are ridiculous. But we just need to wait until the report comes out, and then I'll be in a position to comment then.
Mm-hmm. And I know one of the big questions with the public is, when are we going to find out? Is there an estimate on when this report will be going back to council? Do we have a definitive time, or is it still up in the air?
I think it's going to be relatively soon. I can't say for certain, because it's the Integrity Commissioner's report, and then it's up to council to make a decision about it, and I won't be part of that decision as to when it's going to those next steps.
For sure. Well, just changing topics to last night's council meeting, and there was a few different items that I was hoping to discuss. First off, the Fort Kai Métis Nation was at the council looking to gain some more funds for a community center up in the rural hamlet, and the municipality is partnering to look to make sure this project moves forward. Just talk about the importance of this project and partnering with the Métis Nation.
Sure. The idea of the facility and the initial design was developed by the Fort McKay Métis Nation and includes a space for about 500 people, a commercial kitchen, a concession stage, a retractable bleachers and walls, and 145 parking stalls and other improvements. And council previously approved $6.2 million for the construction, and that was in the 2019 budget. But then we've had some feedback that really varied. It wasn't very consistent about what the need was in the community. We had one of the Fort McKay's most passionate residents come forward last night, and that's the leader of the Fort McKay Métis, and that was Ron Quintel. And he was adamant that we need to carry on with the project, and we need to make sure that the project continues. The problem is there's been some increases in the cost to about $9 million, so it's gone from $6 to $9 million. And what Councillor Allen brought forward a motion last night is, let's take another look at this whole thing and make sure that this makes sense with what the community wants and needs. And we asked Mr. Quintel if he had the opportunity to see what the changes were as to why the price had gone up from $6 to $9 million, and he hadn't seen those yet. So it made sense what Councillor Allen brought forward is, let's take a whole fresh look at it. Administration's going to work with Mr. Quintel, take a look at it, and then bring some ideas back to council. And there's going to be an interim report within 90 days brought back to council so that we can see what's happening. Mr. Quintel did make a good point, is that he has pointed out that historically there has not been a real presence of the municipality in Fort McKay, as there is in other areas of our region. Other areas have recreation facilities and facilities, and Fort McKay doesn't have that kind of facility, so he's looking for that gap to be filled in. And I think with our previous commitment of the $6.2 million, we showed that we're very committed to making sure that the project, or a project, continues. But we need to make sure that that project makes sense. And given the feedback we heard, which was inconsistent, and given the rise in costs, we need to take a fresh look at it. So we're going to do that. But, you know, I'm still committed to making sure that the people of Fort McKay, you know, have a facility. I just want to make sure it makes sense. And we'll have to, you know, our council colleagues will have to take a new look at what the options are when they come back and come forward. We don't have a timeline as to when the whole thing's going to come back, but we should have an interim idea within about 90 days as to where things stand.
Mm-hmm. Depending on what comes back, the recommendations, do you think the municipality would be willing to provide another $2.8 million for this project?
It'd be up to council ultimately to make that decision. I think it would depend on what those costs were for. And we didn't have a good sense of that last night. I did ask a few questions about that, and some of it was land acquisition and the servicing costs. So we need to make sure that in the end, it's the taxpayers of the entire region that are paying for this, and 95% of the municipal tax base comes from industry. A lot of people are always surprised when I remind them of that. We need to make sure that these things make sense. We are in not the same fiscal universe that we used to be in. We were in much more challenging times. When my colleagues and I were down in Edmonton recently, the premier gave a very passionate speech that we need to make sure that we are doing everything we can to have a competitive tax environment. And we have historically not had a competitive tax environment in this region to attract new businesses. So we're going to have to do things a lot differently up here than we have in the past. But having said that, we are going to take a look at this, and you know, we want something that makes sense for the community. And another thing that happened last night as part of the presentation is that the new leadership from the First Nation sent a letter in support of the project. So that is a real a good step, and we were excited to see that, but we just need to make sure the project ultimately makes sense for the entire region financially.
All right, well, Mayor Scott, don't go anywhere, as we're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters. But when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion about multiple topics discussed at last night's council meeting.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me in studio is Mayor Don Scott. And we're going to continue our discussion about last night's council meeting. And we're talking about Rogers Hometown Hockey, Canada's largest touring festival. And it's making a stop here in Wood Buffalo in November. But the municipality is also putting aside, I believe it's around $131,000 for the event. What is this money going to be used for?
Yeah, it's the funding that we're going to use to make sure that we have an unbelievable event here in the region. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to generate about $350,000 in direct economic activity and about $1 million in national promotional impact. So this is fantastic. What I've been saying to everybody is that this is priceless exposure. So it's a $131,000 investment, but the return on this is just unbelievable. We're going to be having events in the rural communities. We're going to be having events in Fort McMurray, and it's really going to be a celebration of hockey. There's going to be events for the young people. There's going to be a lot for people to do, and we're going to get to show all our visitors, and there's going to be a tremendous number. You know what a great community this is, and we're going to be able to thank all the Canadians for all the support they've given us since the fire and during that experience. So it's something we're really excited about. It's going to really be a great celebration.
Was this something that the municipality had to apply for, or was this something that the organization just decided to choose Wood Buffalo. I know that the community had it back in 2014, I believe, the first time, so this is the second time it's coming up.
Yeah, it's something that we apply for. I know that there were some people lobbying for us down in Edmonton, and it's something that I'm happy to see that we succeeded at. It's going to be, and just to remind everybody, it's November 23rd and 24th at McDonald Island Park. That's where we're going to be. The real key to the celebration is going to be happening, and throughout the rural areas.
And again, what you mentioned earlier, that the dollar amount isn't too important, as you see this as a great opportunity to kind of showcase Wood Buffalo on a national scale.
It is, and it's going to showcase, everything that's so awesome about our region. And we're going to be having some great visitors who are coming, who will provide national exposure to the region. They're going to be going back as ambassadors for this region, I have no doubt. We have such a fantastic place to live, and that's evident when people come here and see it. And they're going to see the state of the rebuild. They're going to see, how much progress we've made, and they're going to see our great facilities like McDonald Island and our rural recreation facilities. It's going to really showcase why people should be living in this region to all Canadians. And you're going to see a great hockey game. And everybody, I was joking with some people that I was with last night that everyone's going to be out supporting the Oilers. And the group I was with, not a single person supported the Oilers except me. So we'll see. I'm hoping that there's a lot of Oilers fans among the crew that go watch.
We have just a little bit of time left in this segment, and one other topic I was hoping to discuss is that Wood Buffalo Council approved having a municipal census done next year, and a lot of people just see the census as not very important, but why is the municipality, or I guess the census, so important for the municipality?
Yeah, we receive money for every person that lives here from other levels of government, so, and we're required by the Municipal Government Act to do it every 2 to 3 years. So it's an important step that we need to take. And just to give people a sense of how much money we get, in 2019, we received $21.9 million in regular funding from various grants. And that was based on the 2018 population figures. So these grants include the Municipal Sustainability Fund, the Basic Municipal Transportation Grant, and the Federal Gas Tax Fund. So the more people that live in our region, the more money we get. And Councillor Maher brought up a point that I have observed myself and spoken to the school boards about, which is the school boards are seeing increases in their registered population of students. Mm-hmm. And it's as high as 10%. And we should see if our population is reflecting an increase as well. If our school boards are showing an increase in students, then I believe that our general population is increasing. But that's not necessarily the case, but let's check and make sure. So we'll find out. And it should mean more money for the region ultimately, and that's what I want to see. I want to see more people living here, obviously, but it's ultimately going to benefit everybody. So let's get the right numbers.
Is it safe to say that you personally are going to be looking a lot at what the shadow population is going to be?
Yeah, it's something I will always pay attention to. And, it's a number that is counted. And it's something I raised last night. We just want to double check and make sure that is included. I think one of my colleagues asked that question specifically. So we will find that out. And that will be a number that that will be publicly available. And, it's important to find out exactly what's happening in the region. That's an important part of our region. So let's find out the numbers.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, we're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters. But don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about the upcoming federal election.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103. Style Comfort. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me in studio is Mayor Don Scott. And Mayor Scott, Wood Buffalo Council approved having free transit available for people to vote on October the 21st in the upcoming federal election. So just talk about why council wanted to support this and where the idea came from.
Yeah, this was really spearheaded by a few people. It was a resident who came forward and said, this is something that you've got to do, and it makes perfect sense, and other municipalities are doing it. And I believe her name was Chantel Tatum. If I didn't get that right, I hope she forgives me. But she made a brilliant presentation and was very passionate and had the courage to come forward to council, which I really appreciate, and said this is an important step that you need to take. She had previously contacted, I believe, some councillors, including Jane Stroud, who represents Anzac and the rural areas down south. And that's something that Councillor Stroud had been championing, saying, let's do this. This makes perfect sense. We have this resident who's championing it. And our CAO grabbed hold of it and said, yes, let's do this. And we just confirmed it last night, but it makes great sense. And we want more people to voting in this region for all elections. You know, we need to, there's people all over the world dying to vote, and we can't take it for granted anywhere. And I want to see people get out and vote. So if we can do something to facilitate voting, let's get out and do that. And I was very happy to see it.
Has this been offered at previous elections, maybe not federally, but also provincially or municipally?
You know, I don't recall that it has, not in this way. So I think we're ramping it up a step here. And there's something I'd like to see continued in the future. So hopefully, you know, it's something that we're going to carry on with. We'll see what the effect is and how many people take advantage of it. We can usually get a sense after we see the participation numbers in voting. And with any luck, we're going to see higher numbers, because it's something that I always look at myself. I always want to see more people vote. It's something so fundamental to democracy, and something that I really encourage people to do. It doesn't matter who you vote for. Get out and vote, please.
Now, Mayor Scott, a couple months ago, we had a chat about what priorities you would want to see each party take when it comes to our region federally. But for any government that gets voted in on October 21st, what do you want to see them do to help our region?
I want to see more participation in this region. A lot of people don't have a sense that the federal government has a strong presence here, and that's absolutely right. We need the federal government to have a greater presence in this region. Right now, I feel like we don't. We have an MP who works hard, David Yerdega. We meet with him often, and he champions various issues, but I don't have a sense that the government in power has a strong presence. I go down and meet with him. The Prime Minister was here. You know, we've had bills that have not been helpful to this region that have been passed. But having said that, you know, we continue to lobby the federal government. I would like to see the federal government really champion a bypass road called the East Clearwater Highway. That's something the federal government could pay for, and they could partner up with the province and do that. That's a great example of the infrastructure this region needs. Rural broadband is something that we've been asking for a long time, and the federal government has, you know, thus far sat on their hands and not gotten the job done, at least not in this region. So there's a lot of issues like that. You know, there's a wharf up in Fort Chippewa. A lot of people don't realize it. The federal government's trying to unload it. They don't even want to deal with it anymore. And it's one of the key pieces of infrastructure in Fort Chippewa that people need to, you know, to access goods and services. So hopefully we're going to get, you know, some results with whatever the result is of the election. You know, we'll work with whatever government's in power, but I want them to start getting more of a presence up here. Sometimes they show up when there's an election, then they disappear. But I'd like the reverse. I'd like them to at least show up after the election and say, this is what we're going to do for your region. We recognize your economic impact all across Canada, so let's start investing in this region. So that's what we need the federal government to do.
Do you see that, you know, the first couple months after a government comes in as, you know, a very important time to really start, you know, asking for stuff that the region is looking for?
Yeah, and we continue to do it all the time. We took some time to lobby down at some of the events that we've been to with federal ministers. We've met with Minister Sohi a couple times. He's one of the key federal ministers in the current Liberal government. You know, we're always talking to them. We protested various bills that the government brought forward, and we've tried to affect legislation. We know that the premier's been doing the same thing. So when we see something that affects this region, we certainly don't sit on our hands. We get out there and we lobby for it. We send them letters. We tell them exactly how we think about issues. So we're trying to champion causes that are important to the region with all levels of government, including the federal government.
Now, we have just a little bit of time left on Fort McMurray Matters, but one last topic I was hoping to discuss, and we were talking a little bit off-air about it, but Councillor Krista Balsam brought a motion at yesterday's council meeting in regards to some lobbying efforts to the federal government. Can you share some more information about this?
Yeah, she brought forward a motion last night. So she is part of the board of FCM, so that was something that's really important to us, that we have a local representative on that board. That's the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, so they lobby the federal government. So they had a series of meetings back east, and what they came up with was a series of principles that they wanted to bring forward to the federal government as issues that were important to all Canadians. And there was one thing that I was looking for, and I always look for it, which was energy, supporting Canadian energy. I didn't see that on their list, but I know that Councillor Balsam is going to champion that, and she gave me her personal assurance that her and the Alberta delegation are championing that at every opportunity. So I was satisfied with her saying that that's going to carry on, and I know that she's a great champion of our energy products. So I'm good with that. But it was things like supporting public transit, tackling housing affordability, champion rural and northern communities, protecting Canadians from climate change by investing in projects to support and protect families and businesses from extreme weather events, renewing the roads, bridges, and water systems and other core infrastructure that supports Canadian quality of life. So she brought forward this list to council last night for us to endorse, and it was endorsed, and now we're going to be sending letters to the various party leaders saying that we endorsed this list that was brought forward by the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. And on the issue of energy, you know, we'll always be promoting that at every opportunity with every party leader and everyone who's running that comes to this region.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, as always, we always appreciate when you come in and share a little bit of your time. So thanks again for coming in and talking everything municipal and this time federal politics.
Happy to do it. Take care, everyone.
Make sure to tune in to Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.